descriptive words in that hymn. Well, this next Sunday school class is going to be exciting. When we take hymns and we look at them, and we show how
they open up Scripture, and how they, and poetry itself is a great skill that's used in hymnody, and putting together in a singable way such great truths. The Psalms do it, but also the great hymns of the faith. So look forward to that. But this is, that's an excellent hymn. All right, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It is a topical series, so it's not directly the kind of exposition where that we find like in going through Matthew, but as still as we draw from God's Word and we learn from it. So let's pray together. We're in Deuteronomy 6, be reading 1 through 15, but let's pray that the Lord would give His blessing to the reading and teaching of His Word. It's time for us to listen, O God, to hear with our ears and our hearts. Your great and wonderful Spirit is a master at bringing it about in us, and that's why we pray to you, Father, that your Spirit would open up our ears to hear and our hearts to receive what your Word teaches us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 6 follows, I know this is brilliant of me to say, it follows chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the second giving of the law. So when you read Deuteronomy chapter 5, Deuteronomy, second law, you have that giving of, again, the commandments of God as were given on Sinai. You have them given again here in Deuteronomy, and chapter 6 follows that with great and memorable revelation that was sat with the Jews, then still sits with them now. So let's hear the Word of God. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, take care, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It is the Lord your God you shall fear. Him you shall serve, and by his name you shall swear. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, and he is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from off the face of the earth. It happened at Presbytery, and it's happened in your life. I'm confident it's happened, at least in many of your lives. that a report was being given, and someone had their phone on, and phones have these digital assistants, these artificial AI assistants. Siri is probably the most well-known one. Mine is not so bright because I have a Samsung phone. It's not a very smart artificial intelligence. It's artificial, maybe, you know, kindergarten level, something around there. But his phone was listening. His phone was set so that his voice commands could be given, and then the artificial intelligence would respond and give the weather, look up a restaurant, whatever it is that comes out of the mouth. And the report was given. All of a sudden, you hear off to the side, "I didn't get that. Would you say that again?" The phone was listening, and you know, has it happened to you? I mean, it's mine. I could speak as clearly as possible, and it just doesn't get it. It's not a very, it's artificial for sure, but intelligent it is not. But I put up with it. I can get the weather out of it sometimes. Occasionally, I can get it right. Tiffany knows. I can get it to maybe read my text when I'm in the car and read it back to me sometimes. But the phone is listening. It's hearing, and it's trying to figure out what it is that you want. And that's artificial intelligence. And it picks up on a little bit of speech from someone that was 20 feet away. Our ears pick up so much. Our ears, like our eyes, are a gateway to our heart. And one could say positively, they're the primary gateway to our heart. Because it is through words that God speaks to us. So next to the faculty of seeing, which we looked at 2 weeks ago, the hearing is a primary passageway. And listening is getting to be a lost art. As we said 2 weeks ago, seeing becomes now the most important thing. What we see with our eyes. We are a visual culture. By hearing, however, we are taught. We are informed, called to action by our hearing. We are warned of danger by our hearing. We are encouraged, and we are deceived by our hearing. So we have to be very, very careful what we listen to. God's word commands us to know where and where not to build walls to guard our hearing, boundaries to protect our hearts. This is a matter of guarding and protecting the heart. Boundaries are there for good. We certainly should have seen this from the very beginning of this series, that boundaries are not all bad. Boundaries have a good and right purpose. So two simple, I didn't do the usual fill in the blank thing because I thought it would be pretty easy. Listen, don't listen. So kind of easy to figure out what words are in the blanks there, so I just left it this time. Listen, boundaries are good. We're not to shut out, first of all, God. What are we to listen to? While boundaries are good, there's a place that we should not have, and that's between us and God. We do not block our ears to God. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, the famous, repeated daily by Orthodox Jews, the Jews in Jesus' day, all the way through our own day, "Hear, O Israel," Shema, hear, listen, pay attention, take to heart. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Take to heart that God is the only true and living God, and that He is our God and there is no other. That He is our God, and we are His people. And that the God who is our God is the only God." Listen to that. Hear it. Remember it. Let it go deeply into your heart. Don't put any walls between that truth and your heart. Don't separate yourself from it. Don't for a moment imagine there are other gods. Don't be so dense as to shut your ears to the truth. And this God commands something of us. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. They were as precious to the Jews as the I am statements of John's gospel are to us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the Lamb of God. All those great I am statements that we think of Jesus, we think how precious our Jesus is to us as he revealed himself that way. This is that precious statement in the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. We listen, and it's obvious by the very act of listening that it requires speech. The eyes pick up everything that falls upon us. I mean, I can scan the room. I see windows, piano on my periphery. I see the exit door there. I see all of you. I see all of this. It just kind of pours in. It's easy to see. It's easy to look. It just happens. Listening, well, we hear a lot that's going on, but listening takes something. Listening means attentive to what's being said. See, God is especially about speaking. That's why he gives us his word. That's why he says, do not make any graven images or idols. Because God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Not with seeing, but with the hearing that takes to heart who God is and what he has revealed. Now, it's true, our hearing takes in all kinds of stuff. The birds singing, which I am particularly fond of. The garbage truck rolling down the street that at least alerts me that it's time to take the barrels back in. The music from the car next to you that you wish you didn't have to hear. But also your own music playing, some good, not some maybe not so much. But there is that great difference between seeing and hearing. God commands us to listen because something that he has said, he has spoken to us. Proverbs certainly addresses the hearing at the very beginning. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. Father, listen, sons, listen to me, the father says, Proverbs 2. My son, listen to me. Listen. Don't build a wall between the words of your parents that show wisdom in your heart. Jesus demands several times in his gospel, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you have the faculty to take to heart the words of God, then you should listen to what Jesus is saying. That's what he's communicating. If you have that blessed faculty of being able to hear and listen to the word of God, if that wall has been broken down by God himself, that has removed your own deafness and denseness, that has opened up a way to your heart by his own words. If you're going to listen to God, Jesus says, listen to me. He has ears to hear. Let him hear. But Jesus doesn't just mean listen to the sound and the syllables and the accents. He just doesn't mean that. Listen to words, one following another, structuring a sentence. You know what he means. Let him who has ears to hear, let him pay attention. Let him focus, let him meditate on it. In fact, hearing and listening is so important that there be no walls between God's word and us. It's so important that Paul says faith comes by what? Hearing. Faith comes by hearing. By listening. Not attending and having your mind and heart trained to endure 25, 30, 35 minutes of the droning on and on and on of the preacher. Always from that corner. So the listening, attentiveness, coming in and being prepared to receive the word of God, not only in the sermon, but as you note in the liturgy, God talks to us a lot. He talks to us a lot in the hymns as they draw from Scripture. Yes, we sing them in praise to God, but there's a lot said to us. The assurance of pardon, God speaks to us. It's His word that is read. If you have a troubled heart, if you've been burdened by sin, and you wonder, is there really any hope that God would really forgive it? Who do you need to hear from? God. And you listen to Him. He doesn't speak His assurance of pardon in passing. It's not an aside. It's not a parenthesis in the regular conversation of your life. It is an absolute statement, clear of any parenthetical notes. It's not my English is. It's not a subtext. It is bold and open and cried out. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. That is God saying to us, look, I'm a God who forgives. And if I didn't, you would be in a world of trouble. But I do, so listen. So hearing requires that attention. If you've ever been around people that are particularly hard in hearing, you may be off to their right and you're talking to them and they haven't a clue. They just can't hear you. And then you move around a little bit and then you get into that sweet spot of their hearing. And all of a sudden now they are attentive and they can hear you. You're speaking in the same volume you were when you were over here. But now you're in the sweet spot where they give that attention and they can focus and they can block out all the other cacophony of sound all around them and hone in on what you are saying. Because it requires them to be attentive. And brothers and sisters, we're all hearing impaired. We all wrestle with this wall, this density to God speaking to us through His Word, that there are things we don't want to hear, like the little child that blocks his ears and goes, la, 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 la. And it's not because God is over here talking. It's because God is right here speaking. And we just don't want to listen. When we listen to the Lord, we set our focus upon Him. We don't just hear with our ears, we hear with our heart. We give that a soul attention to it, that meditative spirit that listens. And we do that even when we sing hymns. Part of singing hymns, like I said, good Sunday school coming up. Learn the hymns. Learn maybe some of them you didn't know what some of the words meant because they were written at a time when those words had certain meanings and the great words. So you can hear when you sing, so you can listen to what's coming out of your mouth and what's coming out of the mouths of your brothers and sisters as we confess our faith, as we sing His praises. Give attention to it. Why? You know the Lord hears you. The Lord is the greatest listener. the Lord who has had so much to say. Life-giving words, warnings of danger, calls back to the fold, the voice of the shepherd calling after the sheep, listens to us. When Israel was sent into captivity, there was a reason for it. 70 years they would be there. And Jeremiah prophesies for the Lord, and he says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will bring you back to this place. And you know the verse maybe. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans for a future and for hope. Then you, for well-being, not for calamity. Then you will call upon me and pray to me. And Jeremiah says, the Lord says, I will hear you. I will listen to you. The psalmist so regularly cries out, Lord, hear me in my affliction. And the Lord hears and delivers. The Lord listens to your prayers. You are not background noise to your God. You're not just this distant, distant voice of something going on in another room that he thinks is none of his business. He doesn't just give you that polite little nod that sometimes you give people when they're talking and your mind's on something else and you go, uh-huh. Right? Listen, God is capable of listening to, listen, hear, O Israel. God is capable of listening to all of us in our homes and whatever's going on. God does not lack the capacity to give complete and full attention to your needs and your cries for help, for mercy, for comfort. It is at least rude to not listen to him. At least. At most, it is soul danger to not listen to the Lord. That's why the author of Proverbs says, son, listen to your father, and I'll give you wisdom. Because in not listening, you will go headlong into all kinds of dangers that could be avoided. Have you ever felt like your prayers are actually bouncing off the sky? Never reaching the Lord? There's something just in the way. Like you're saying the words, but you know they're just not even getting past your own hearing. They're just not. You've been through times like that. Why is that? Why is it sometimes it feels like the Lord is not listening? Why does it feel like there is a boundary, there is a wall to God's hearing you? Well, could be that there's undealt with sin. You know, sin is a way we build this wall from listening to God because we've not repented, we've not listened to His correction, we've not listened to the Spirit in our heart convicting us. And sometimes it's that unrepentant sin we think is not a big deal, and we think we're going to pray. And we're not praying a prayer of repentance, which gets to the ear of the Lord. We're praying for something else. We're maybe praying for something good. We may be praying for some of the very things we prayed in our congregational prayer. But it's not going anywhere because there's sin that hasn't been dealt with. Maybe there's that wall and our prayers seem to bounce down, and we created and we built it because we know that if He listens to us, we have to listen to Him. That if I speak to God and He hears me, then He may say something back. I don't mean audibly. The Spirit through His Word. which may bring to your mind scriptures that you have read before and inform you of maybe your need to repent of other things or your duty to Him that you've been neglecting. Maybe your heart just really isn't into that prayer and it's just rote. I struggle with that with the meals, right? You're praying and giving thanks to God for the food, right? Sometimes it's hard. We go, dear God, thank you for this food which we're about to receive in Jesus' name. And I think, well, I don't know if it got there or not, but I said it anyway. And sometimes you've got to slow yourself down to get there. Maybe you're just tired. Maybe just wrestling, and that happens. And you just think you're not getting through when the fact of the matter is you are, and He's listening and He hears you. But you're just struggling, you're downcast, you're tired, you're sick. You may think something is in the way, but it is not. That happens. But God always breaks down the wall. He breaks down the wall so that you can listen to Him. And sometimes He speaks the word loudly. You have told me, some of you have told me, and I'm sure you have had times when you've said this to others, you said, that's just the word I needed. Have you said that to someone? They shared with you maybe something from God's word, encouragement they learned from God's word, and you say, that's just what I needed to hear. It's just what I needed to hear. Listen. There is not to be a wall between you and God in the hearing of His word. Don't listen. Well, there are to be boundaries. It's not just we open up our hearts to everything. The boundaries for our ears are just as important for those boundaries for our eyes, because there is a reason gossip is prevalent as much in the church as it is in the world. There's a reason for that. We're, like I said, we're poor hearers. We're poor listeners. We don't know where to build the walls. Sometimes we open up a place for things that have no business. And gossip is a glimpse of something perhaps forbidden. And maybe it begins, did you know? Has anyone told you? You'll never guess what so-and-so. And sometimes it begins that way, and what's it do when you're tantalized and it builds in you an expectation that this is going to be good? And the wall just breaks down. How easily the wall breaks down. It takes someone just a few words to capture us to say, this now requires your attention. Because it's about someone in the pew behind you or next you, or it's an elder or a deacon, it's about them, or and your eagerness sets in and you take it to heart, because when eagerness sets in, you take it to heart. When expectation and eagerness to listen steps in, that means the boundary is brought down. The gate is open and the heart is ready to take it in. That's what it means. Once you express an eagerness to hear gossip, you have announced the fact that I am ready to receive it as gospel truth. That's eagerness. That's different than caution. Caution guards the wall and protects the gate. Began talking about phones, but your phone, mine does, because like you, I get a lot of spam calls. Not spam calls, what are they called? Phishing, hacking, whatever is it? What's it called? Phishing. Yeah, you get these calls and it says, my phone has a warning. It says, this may be a spam call or something, or a phishing call. And I have a feature, and it says, block. It says, you blocked that number. And you and I have a feature. It is because we are Christians, because we have an understanding of God's word, we have a block feature. That there are certain things we don't listen to and pay attention to. And they need to be blocked. See, when you block someone on the phone, when you block a number, that says it never even gets to your hearing, let alone your heart. It never gets there. The door is closed. A wall is built. Now, if they're spam callers, they just use another number that looks like they're your neighbor next door because it's the same area code as you, but you can block that one as well. So use the block feature. And those who conspire against the Lord ought to be blocked. This is the Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 18, which was read last week, but I changed it up for the reading this week. But Deuteronomy 13 is God's warning to his people that if anyone among you, your neighbor or someone in your family says, you know, the gods of this land aren't too bad. And it seems to be going pretty well for the people of this land. So let's go after those gods. And God says, don't listen. Block them. Use that block feature. Shut them out. Shut them out of your life. Don't listen to it. Those who conspire against the Lord ought to be blocked. Now, there are those who have responsibility for correction, admonishment, rebuke, who, in one sense, they listen only for the matter of correction. But certainly when we're dealing with kids, blocking is hugely important. It's important for adults, but especially kids. You don't put your kids in a position to discern a false teacher. You should block them. It's not time to listen to that. Naysayers. Jesus said, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Naysayers, block them. Those who stand in your way of obedience and seek to lead you astray, block them. Sometimes it's literally block them. Block them on your phone. Block them on your social media. You don't need it. Your heart doesn't need the constant pounding on the walls for junk to get in. There are hot-tempered voices who will not let you ever see any hope in the Lord. And who will never, ever let you love your enemy. Block them. That's even in the church, you can find people who will just pour out their anger at the world. And then they're pouring out their constant, insistent anger. Have you read? Have you seen this? You know what the next thing is? You never get a moment's rest to actually consider how to love your enemy because all they're saying is hate, hate, hate your enemy. Block it. There's time for a sensible discussion and listening to what's going on in the world so that you can address it. But those who are constantly insisting on bad, 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 as if God can never bring anything out of it, as God cannot give you hope, as you are not in like Christ was with his enemies, called to love them, then you don't need that. False teachers should be blocked, Paul to the Corinthians. Those who teach a false gospel are anathema. They are blocked by God. And so we can block them too. False teachers block them. The saints in Corinth were receiving men with false teaching. Paul says, look, he calls them super apostles. They're these men that were larger than life in the eyes of the Corinthians. And you know, people like that, they just stand out. They have a persona about them. There's something about them and the way they speak and the way they carry themselves that people just fawn over them. And Paul says, these particular group of super apostles, they're just all false teachers. They don't really love you. They don't really know God. But they're going to fleece you. And Paul says, I'm not like that at all. But you block me. They gave Paul the cold shoulder, and he had to write them three letters. There's a missing letter to the Corinthians. But what our brother read in 2 Corinthians 11, look, don't block me. I'm the one who loves you. Block them, because they don't. They're false teachers. Stay away from them. Anything that promotes in you a life of sin, block it. And just as the hymns, as we'll look at them in our Sunday school class and as we sing them, intend to teach you something. It's not like, hey, that's a great tune. What was that tune? All Saints Old. That's a great tune. It's not like, man, I like All Saints Old. So I'm going to listen to it. No, they intend on communicating something with those words, and so does everything you listen to. Now, depending upon your maturity, and the same with seeing, we think we're more discerning than we actually are. Sometimes we're not discerning at all, and the flood of bad words, bad poetry, bad mantras, you know, this is the time for mantras. I am good, I am smart, and I can do all things. I am good, and I am smart, and I can do all things. Right? You know, whatever people tell themselves and repeat it enough times, it goes right into the heart. No, you can't, but the Holy Spirit in you can. Whatever promotes a life of sin. Popular sentiments that captivate decent people. We think, can't be all that bad. It's sold at this local shop, and it's owned by Christians. That makes it good. Not necessarily. Block it. Or at least be conscious of whether you are discerning enough. And the second thing certainly is discernment. Use your block feature. But you can use your delete feature as well. Sometimes you've listened to the message. You delete it. Sometimes you've already heard it, but you can't delete it. That means you take it out of what is interest in your life. We don't always know what will pop out of someone's life when they said, you know what happened to so-and-so. We don't know necessarily that it's going to be gossipy. It may be something of which you should have real concern. But it takes discernment. We can carve something helpful out. And Paul certainly carved helpful things out of Greek philosophy, not because they were found there, but Paul understood Greek philosophy, and he knew he was speaking to Greeks in so much of his ministry, so he was able to use words and concepts that spoke the truth, that would he knew his people would understand it better that way, like he did in Athens. We can take some of what we are hearing. And it might help us to communicate well the truth of the Scripture. But we have to be discerning. We have to be able to delete, to dissect things, like the lyric to a song. And as I said with the eyes, I'll say it again, I am not here to legalistically govern what you listen to. But I am to say, if you lack discernment, and if you are carelessly just listening to something for an entertainment value and are unable to dissect what you are hearing, to dissect it means to understand the worldview that is being communicated, and sometimes it is wide open and clear. Most of the time it is wide open and clear what is being taught to you. What is being shown as, hey, this is the way everyone thinks. Casual sexual relationships are the way it is. And so listen to the song. And maybe you're bummed out because you had one of those relationships and it didn't work out. But that's okay. Like, there's grass greener in the next relationship. And you think, well, you know, I really needed that comforting hand around me after that bad thing that happened. And that comforting hand around you is not a comforting hand around you at all. He's throwing you back in the ring with the lions. Be able to dissect with your hearing and delete. Some people do that well. Some people listen to the music so that they can dissect and discern and use that for illustrative purposes. This is the way the world thinks, and you can see it in that music. You can listen to it and you can hear it. But some people just sing along casually, hearing their voices, soaking in the message in an ungoverned, unwalled, unprotected life. Because the walls aren't there. When we open up our ears with eagerness to immoral, blasphemous words, when we listen, we take it to our hearts. It needs to be deleted. Block feature, the delete feature, use them. They're the walls, they're the boundaries. There's room, certainly, for levels of maturity in the Christian faith to be able to do something. Maybe some others can't. But certainly, there's no entertainment value in sin. Children tend to repeat every word, especially the ones we wish they wouldn't. They come home. It's a particular phrase that my grandson is saying that I'm thinking, that's unkind to say. Do not say it again. But they repeat it because that's what they hear. They hear from others these things and they say it. And sometimes we're aghast. Oh, right. He may be in there saying it now. But that's not all they hear, is it? Kids don't just pick up bad words, angry words, insulting words, careless words. They pick up the good stuff too, thankfully, because they are little listeners. Because they are eager and ready to learn something new. They are building their vocabulary. They're building a way to look at life. They're participating in it. They're responding to words. Little ears are always listening. And so are yours. Your ears are always listening. But you are old enough, mature enough to be able to block things out and to delete things, to toss them away, to keep them from getting to your heart, to guard yourself. You are able to discard one thing and keep another. You are able to say, I'm not repeating that. They're not. The ear is a gateway that needs to be guarded as much as the eyes. Let's fess up and be honest with our level of discernment. Let's be honest about what we can really think we can not block, but just listen to and then maybe delete some things here and there. If you don't have the capacity and the maturity to delete, you must block. If you lack the maturity to dissect it, to understand it and comprehend it, you ought to block it. You ought to set it aside. Because your heart is more important than a moment's entertainment. Your heart is more important than just a cool beat. It's more important than that. So brothers, build the boundaries for your ears where they need to be built. Let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you hear us, that you listen. We know you're not obedient to us. We know that we do not command you. Yet what a great God you are, that as a father listens to his children, takes account of their needs, responds to our words to show that affection and that love. We are, Lord, to listen to you and respond in kind, to love you with every thought, every word, to love you with every effort, because you have revealed and spoken to us. Teach us wisely to block what needs to be blocked, to delete what needs to be deleted, and to never put up a guard between us and you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.